Hello, and welcome to the Business Decisions Podcast. My name is Stuart Wood. I'm the CEO of Caravel Law and your host for this podcast. My guest on the podcast today is Max Tremaine, the co-founder and CEO of Sherpa. I'm going to speak with Max today about leading his organization through the current COVID-19 situation, especially given the dramatic impact on the travel industry, how he's managing through those challenges, and how it's affected his company's short-term and long-term plans. So with that, here's my conversation with Max Tremaine from Sherpa. All right, I'm joined on the podcast now by Max Tremaine, the co-founder and CEO of Sherpa. Max, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Stuart. Thanks for having me.
So Max, tell us a little bit about Sherpa.
Yeah, so the genesis of Sherpa was myself and my co-founder, Ivan, just having really big issues with travel visas. And we were both avid travelers for business and, you know, for tourism and some combination of the two sometimes. And we just had issues understanding what we needed to travel somewhere, overstaying visas, missing trips because you're not able to get the right visa on time. And, you know, we had our you know, there's got to be a better way moment in 2015. And we started building tools to help people understand travel visas, figure out what they need for the trip, help people apply. And yeah, it's been a really exciting journey.
So how are you doing through all this?
Well, it's been really exciting, I guess, you know, very challenging. You know, I kind of got into startups and technology to, you know, tackle challenging issues. And this has definitely been a challenging time. So it's exciting for sure.
Yeah, exciting is not a word that you're used all that often today. So it's great that you're able to see the silver lining there.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, it's really tough for a lot of people, and it's difficult to see how people have been negatively affected. But yeah, try to focus on the bright side for sure.
Yeah. Now you're in the travel industry, so that's obviously an industry that's been hit very hard by all of this. How quickly did you realize what was happening?
Well, I was pretty clear early on. Like, I remember actually being in an airport probably the first week that anyone there that I had heard about COVID-19, and it was pretty clear that people were pretty serious about it. And you know, I started to take a look around and say, you know, what is this? What? How is it going to affect international travel? And I think one of the first travel bans, I think, was the U.S. Saying that they were going to halt inbound travel from China. And at that point, I was like, okay, this probably isn't going to be the last of policies like this. So we've got to really kind of take a look at, you know, what our outlook is and start to make some plans. But yeah, it was pretty clear from the outset that this was going to be a fairly major disruption in international travel. The most confusing element the whole time has been the timeline. And you know, for us, I mean, you know, my company's focused on you know, confusion around international travel requirements, and it was clear that there was going to be a lot of confusion around international travel requirements. So from the outset, we took an approach of saying, you know, how can we help? You know, how does this change our product? How does this how are we able to help travel companies deal with this really tumultuous time?
So your company was doing very well before all this and was growing, and you'd obviously identified a clear fit with the market and a real need on behalf of travelers and travel companies. How do you start to plan for an almost complete shutdown of travel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think successfully responding to something like this really starts with how you manage your budget in the first place. So there were a couple things, a couple of longer term strategies that carried us into this pretty well. One was that we didn't have a very aggressive hiring strategy before this. You know, we thought, you know, we were focusing on a couple things. One was, you know, we were going to see what was taking up a lot of our time, you know, doing the kind of typical startup, like do things that don't scale and stuff like that. we're going to see what was taking up loads of someone's time, and then we were going to hire around, you know, what our kind of actual our actual stresses and our actual requirements were. So we didn't have this kind of really big push for hiring coming into this. And what it meant was that, you know, we had a fairly lean team coming in. So even as people's you know, requirements on their time started to change, for example, you know, when our customer support team didn't have any support calls coming in because people weren't, you know, booking trips and stuff like that, we were able to focus those people's times on, you know, new requirements for us. So you know, when we started having to focus on, you know, an increase in border closings and new travel requirements around health, we had this team of this kind of small group of people that you know, didn't have the same demands on their time as before, and we were able to refocus. And you know, one thing that stuck with me has been an Eisenhower quote, actually, plans are useless, but planning is indispensable. And I found that to be completely true. You know, when we first went into this, we really looked at like, okay, well, how does our financial model change if we have no revenue for the rest of the year? If we have no new travelers, you know, what would we have to do? What would that look like? Pulling that back, you know, and seeing, you know, what all of our different plans would look like, and what might trigger a move from one plan to another. That's been really really useful for us over this period, and I mean, the goal really has been the whole time, like the way that I look at a good business is kind of like a machine for making really effective people with a growth mindset. And you know, I heard a bunch of stories coming into this from people that went through 9/11 in the travel industry and how it created this kind of great and really tight team. You know, we knew that this was going to be a really terrible period, but we were thinking, you know, let's do that. If we can get something out of this, it will be this, you know, team of people who really understand how to deal with something like this and are really really tight and really trust one another.
I would think that while travel may be down, as people come out of this, the need to sort of navigate a bunch of travel restrictions around the world is going to be more than ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, that's kind of how you have to look at it as a startup going through something like this. You know, the only edge that a startup has over some sort of large incumbent is the ability to be nimble and to change with changing circumstances. And man, like, if you want changing circumstances, like, this has been pretty rocky recently. So yeah, we took a step back and we said, all right, well, how are these changing requirements going to affect travel companies? You know, what's the kind of best way for us to be able to come in and not seem kind of opportunistic, but rather come in and say, hey, this is our product. This is kind of how we're dealing with these kinds of interesting new requirements. Now we can help you guys out. Figure out what's something we can offer off the bat to deliver a lot of value without putting a lot of cost on companies that now really have to change their strategies, but then in the long term, you know, we're able to get something out of it, or have shown that we're a great company to work with in a time like this.
Just curious, did you have any clients that were traveling and ended up getting stuck somewhere and needing to navigate the visa restrictions from a place of being blocked from being able to get home?
There were a couple of people that we had to help out, just kind of more so understanding, you know, what's my best way to get home? What are the different roadblocks that I should be looking out for? There were a couple of situations like that. More so, it was people who had booked trips, you know, on the kind of April and May timeline, where in March we were able to say, like, okay, you're not going to be able to make this trip. Here are your options, stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely, you know, I think about just the kind of changing travel requirement landscape as, you know, a big opportunity to help people out. And I think we've taken the most of those opportunities. I mean, we made it a policy on the outset to say, you know, if someone was going to be able to take a trip, let's kind of refund their fees just so that we're not one of the things that they're kind of worrying about that, oh man, shoot, I wasted all that time and money applying for that visa. I think that's been a good tact for us.
Yeah, I'm sure your clients really appreciated that. What's been the reaction of your team through all of this?
Well, I mean, first off, it's been really heartening. One of the things that we really look for when we're hiring people is a growth mindset. Someone who's looking to grow and evolve and learn things. And that has certainly fared us. That focus has certainly fared us well through all of this. People have been really big on being there for one another, helping people cope, helping people, you know, change, helping each other change how they do things on a day-to-day basis. And that's been super nice to see. We're lucky just, you know, in where we are in terms of funding cycles that, you know, we had the ability to do a bit of a reset and take a step back and look at how we were going to do how we were going to adapt as a company. I've been super impressed with everyone on the team. And to my earlier point, I think it's made people really appreciate one another. It's been a nice silver lining.
That's quite the validation of your hiring practices.
Yeah, for sure.
It gets tested this way. You find out that you've been walking the talk when it comes to your hiring practices and what you really prioritize. That's great.
Well, yeah, there's that saying, you know, when the tide goes out, either you can see where the rocks are, or you can see who hasn't been, who wasn't actually wearing trunks. Everybody's really been really, really supportive of one another, and you do get to see who you can lean on in these times.
That's great. So how have you approached managing them through this situation? And how have you thought about your leadership of the company through the challenges that you're going through?
Yeah, it's a good question. When I look at, you know, people I can look at as good references, I've been reading a lot of like wartime generals, people who have had to deal with that kind of fog of war. Because, I mean, a major issue has just been not knowing what the next week or the next month is going to hold. So one thing is just being able to provide some sort of clarity. For example, I kind of saw those first few weeks, you know, governments initially said like, oh yeah, there's going to be a 2-week shutdown and then a weekend. It's already being pushed back a month. It's like, you know, people are going to really have trouble dealing with that. So that inconsistency. So, you know, we said on the outset, we're going to be remote first until September, because we think that's probably a pretty good timeline for what does a long shutdown look like, or a long kind of interruption in work look like. And so we were able to give people at least something to plan around that may be conservative, but at least gives them a reasonable benchmark that they're not going to worry about you kind of pushing back. That just pushing that out and saying, you know, whenever we're doing plans as a management team, what can and can't we provide clarity on, so that we can be really upfront with the team and say, hey, here's what we're still thinking about. Here's what we need help with. Here's what you can count on us to do and what we can provide clarity on. I think that has helped people out just because, yeah, like this whole thing has been really tough on people. Everyone's got, you know, people in their life that they're worried about. Last thing you want is to be having questions about what's going on in the team. And even if it's bad news, just to have real clarity on what's going on, I think has helped help people out.
Now, you mentioned that you have been able to see some opportunities in the current situation. How are you using this time to either enhance things at your company or look at development opportunities or growth opportunities for the future? How are you making good use of the downtime?
Yeah, well, it's kind of come in stages. Initially, we did take a step back and say, all right, what are we doing now that needs to change? What do we really need to reassess? And then starting to break that out into pieces. So, you know, we took a break from our regular cycles to say, you know, based on everything we know now, what should we be working on with something that we can deliver on a kind of reasonable timeline that would be valuable for people that we're working with. And then really went back into a customer discovery process with our current partners to say, how your business is changing, what can we do to help? And then taking that information and building it into how we work with prospects. And I mean, another thing that's been really heartening is just connecting with competitors too. You know, I was on a call earlier today with someone who has a kind of similar product, just to say, like, how can we help each other out? What are we learning about this? That's been super nice. You know, you might expect people to kind of back into their own, back into themselves and really kind of shut down. But which has happened. But you know, the people you really look up to in these times are people that are able to say, like, hey, how can we help you guys out? What can we do to work together? And that's been really nice.
And have you found that when you're reaching out to clients that they are, you know, appreciative of those calls? And does it end up being strictly about business, or do you almost end up talking through the challenges as, you know, leaders of businesses that are going through something together?
Well, you have to be really careful about tone right now. You know, I think everybody has those examples that they've seen of people that just don't get that this is a tough time for you know, their clients and their prospects. So just saying on the outset, like, you know, I don't have something to sell. I really want to understand how we can help. Here's something that I can provide off the bat to deliver some value without any immediate expectation attached to it. And then going from there to saying, to go back into your customer discovery process and say, okay, well, what could I provide? What might be of value without selling this? What would the value in that be for you? You know, what's a kind of acceptable model for how we might work together around this stuff to mutually benefit from trying to solve these problems. That's been the general tact, and it's been it's been generally well received. Everyone falls into a few kind of baskets. You know, there's people that are, you know, where this really calls into the question their core business model. That's a really tough situation to be in. That's not a great place to go right now, or it's a great place to go to try and help, but not a great place to figure out kind of solution handling right now. Then there's people who are able to cope, able to look down the road to see what might work out. And then there are companies that are able to take advantage, and there's something in this situation that helps them out in some way, and figure out, you know, how we can enable that process. It's kind of run the gamut.
You mentioned that you didn't overextend yourself and hadn't overhired leading into this situation. Have you also been able to get some help from some of these government programs that have been rolled out for Canadian companies?
Oh yeah, for sure. I think there've been a lot of great programs. I mean, the biggest one for us in Canada has been the emergency wage subsidy. I think the way that program has evolved has been really nice. Initially it was, have you had a reduction in revenue year over year? And, you know, we're a startup. So year over year, I mean, month over month, we've had a huge shock, but year over year, you know, we've still actually grown. But now we have, obviously with growing revenue, we have growing expenses as well. So I like the way that they move that program from just being a year over year drop in revenue to a month over, you know, first 2 months of the year drop in revenue. That really opened it up for a lot of companies that were in our position where, you know, we've had amazing growth, but also just a huge shock. So that was really helpful. you know, from the outset, I was thinking like, man, it'd be amazing if they did like a payroll tax holiday. And the way that the wage subsidy worked out, it kind of worked out to be similar to that. There's the 10% subsidy is administered as a reduction in payroll tax, which is, you know, well enough for sure. And anything is great in times like this. And those are a couple programs that have been really helpful. And then, you know, there are the regular, I think that there's amazing infrastructure, specifically in Ontario for early stage tech startups. Communitech in Waterloo and Mars and all the campus-based accelerators. So many amazing resources, and then organizations like Tech.to for bringing communities together, bringing the tech community together, and helping people out. It's been really nice. Yeah. Like I said, the whole time, kind of realize who you can lean on. It's been really nice.
And you're one of the leaders of the travel section within Tech.to. And I noticed that you were facilitating a conversation in one of their Tech.to Together events. What's the overall mood of people who are part of that group right now?
Oh, it's I think, you know, people who are in the tech community, you're kind of there because you're interested in solving problems. I think there is, like I've said, you know, it's obviously a terrible situation, but people are kind of excited about, you know, solving these problems with interesting new technology and new business models for dealing with these problems. I think it's been conciliatory, but then optimistic for sure.
Oh, that's great. I mean, then that spirit of community really helps people get through all this together, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there more or different steps that you would have liked to have seen the government take? In particular, I'm thinking of some of your partners and clients that you're talking to, that any trouble that you've seen them get into that where some help might have been appreciated?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to criticize anyone right now. I'm really grateful with everything that has come out. I think you do have to look at, you know, who is really getting hit the hardest in these situations. How do you help them out? How do you do it in a way that's really simple to administer? These are really tough questions to ask, but I think there are opportunities for this for sure. Specifically in travel, I mean, it's just, you know, your whole business is just at a halt right now. Yeah, obviously you have to deal with this kind of this virus, obviously, that spreads. So, you know, people can't just be kind of doing what they want to do on the travel front. But, you know, how do you set these companies up to be able to survive in destination, small companies especially? How do you enable them to come back when people are able to travel again? It's a huge question. So yeah, so much has happened that's been really nice. There's a lot more that can be done for sure. And I think, you know, even just as a community, being able to say, here are the people getting hit hardest. If they're not being helped out, how do we help out as a community? But I think there are opportunities to help out for sure.
I think one of the challenges has been for these government programs is there's such a wide range of potential outcomes in the travel industry. And there's been a lot of interesting articles about how people expect the travel industry to change looking forward. How do you prepare for the wide range of possible outcomes at this point? And are there any specific things you'll be watching for to get an indication of, you know, how things are recovering and how permanent some of these changes will be?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've been planning kind of in terms of how we look at outlook. You know, we've been planning month by month with our kind of goals laid out, reassessing on a weekly basis. In terms of management, you know, we've tried to be really open with the team and do as many kind of check-ins as possible, share news when it comes up. I think there are lots of, in terms of being a tech startup, it's a tough time. I think there are a lot of fundraising options. Those options have kind of changed, but there's still a lot out there, and I've just been looking out for, you know, signals for demand. You know, demand is there. You see you know, people still booking travel. Yeah, it's really difficult to say what a recovery is going to look like, but I think industry organizations have done a good job of showing what it might look like. It's a really tough situation right now because it's hard to say exactly what demand looks like. Airlines are starting to open up capacity just to see where demand is. I think there are opportunities around information sharing, especially for anyone who's selling travel to be able to say like, hey, here's where we're seeing demand. It's difficult to say if any of that stuff's going to happen. I think that's a big opportunity right now for sharing and collaborating. We kind of get a view down the chain just because of the nature of our product. People usually don't get the visa until they've got a trip. Some of that behavior is changing right now. People are starting to look earlier in the process at what the travel restrictions and requirements are. We're just looking for that return to some sort of travel demand. And I think there's a lot of good stuff being written right now about the different personas in travel and when they're going to start to travel again. I think it's probably true. Yeah. Corporate travel probably returns first. People who have to travel to deliver whatever service or product they're selling, and then people, repatriating, reconnecting with family, and then there being a kind of broader slow return to travel. I'm definitely in that group that's interested in traveling again, just because it's such a big part of my life. But it's going to be interesting to see what a kind of return to trust in travel more broadly looks like for people. It's going to be similar to what you see now in the kind of state reopenings, where there are the states and governments generally that want to open back up to get people moving again. There's everybody else kind of sitting in the wings to see how it works out. It'll be really interesting to see what travel looks like for the people that are traveling, how that process works out, and what travel safety looks like, what kind of incidence rate of contagion in travel situations looks like, so people can start to trust to travel again.
With that level of uncertainty, what's been the reaction of your investors? You mentioned you had successfully fundraised in the past.
It really depends on the investor. I think a lot of people understand that times like these are probably the best times to get into startups, just because everything's changing. There are going to be new opportunities because there are new problems, and people are going to change the way that they behave. I thought it was an interesting line. The founder of Airbnb saying, there's probably going to be a switch, whereas people kind of traveled for business and they were on their screen for kind of pleasure before. There's going to be a switch. There's going to be a lot more people working on their screen and just kind of traveling to fulfill kind of goals in their personal life. I think that's probably true. Yeah, it'll certainly be a kind of new world out there, and there'll be new opportunities. So, I think the best investors out there recognize that. We'll be looking to invest in those opportunities.
Have you taken any steps to proactively communicate with your investors or advisors?
Oh, of course, yeah. We've been the same way that we're trying to be really open with our team in terms of how the company is changing. We do try to give as much information to our investors as well, just in terms of sharing, like, hey, here's our strategy, here's what we're doing, here's what's actually going on. And we've leaned on our investors in terms of input on what we should be doing right now and how we should be looking at the situation. We're really lucky that, our largest individual investors, Eric Blatchford and Stuart McDonald, they were at Expedia during 9/11. So they got to see, what was before this, the largest disruption in in travel from the perspective of an innovative tech company that is doing something something new. So that's been super helpful. Our other institutional or funds that have invested in the company, True Ventures, Relay Ventures, N49P, have put out just amazing content to their portfolio companies for, you know, what we should be thinking about during these times, how we should be handling different reactions to COVID-19. It's been really nice both ways. Just being able to, you know, have someone to run our strategy by, and then having someone who has more experience in dealing with situations like this to help us out.
Well, that's incredible. You have that kind of support and those kinds of resources available to you. That's fantastic.
Oh yeah.
Do you have any suggestions or advice for other founders or CEOs going through this situation in your industry, but also just overall, somebody who's been leading a growing company and now facing this kind of disruption? Do you have any suggestions or advice or things that have been passed along to you that you'd like to pass along?
Yeah, for sure. I think the piece I talked about before, just around being able to provide clarity where you can, and being very open about what you can provide clarity on, trying to create situations where you can provide clarity, I think has been really big for us, and is a kind of useful for situations like this where there is that kind of fog of war, and also just around assessing, you know, how people's work changes and how you can facilitate that kind of understanding, like, you know, here are the kind of new things that we're going to have to do, whose job is affected by this, in the sense that who actually has new bandwidth, because, you know, you'll figure out pretty quickly, you know, here are the people that are overwhelmed with, you know, what they have to do now that their job has changed. How do you give them some downtime, some ability to take a break? But then there's the flip side of that, which is, you know, for someone else on the team who maybe, you know, they've got a little bit less to do, you know, that can be a really precarious situation too, just because, you know, that person probably has loads and loads of stress on them in their personal life. They're maybe questioning whether or not their job is viable anymore. You know, giving them the ability to take on work that is, you know, now required of the company. That's been a really big thing that I've focused on, because, you know, people want things to do, they want something to work on. It's kind of natural right now to be thinking that kind of what do I do now? So giving someone something to do is I think another side of this that could be overlooked.
Yeah, that's excellent advice. So if someone is interested in learning more about your business, or when things start to open up again and they have a need for information about travel visas, what should they do to learn more about Sherpa?
Yeah, take a look at joinsherpa.com. And yeah, if you're interested in what we're doing, just connect with me on LinkedIn. Love hearing from people that are interested in what we're working on. And now, especially, you know, in terms of, you know, what entry requirements are going to look like going forward, if you're interested in that, connect with me on LinkedIn.
That's great. And thank you very much for your time today. I think it's excellent to hear, you know, how the approach that you're taking to this and how you're responding to the challenge. And so I think it's really inspiring to hear how, even in an industry that's been disrupted completely, you know, you're able to find the challenges to work on and keep pushing things forward.
Thanks a lot, Stuart. Yeah, it's been a real pleasure chatting with you, and really impressed with how Caravel has responded to this, and we've really got a lot of value out of our relationship with Caravel. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Max.
Cheers. Bye.
All right, I want to thank my guest on the podcast today, Max Tremaine from Sherpa. If you'd like more information about Sherpa, please visit joinsherpa.com. If you'd like more information about Caravel Law or about this podcast, you can check us out at caravellaw.com. Thanks very much for downloading and listening to this episode. Please subscribe and leave us a rating, and potentially share the episode with someone else who you think might benefit from the conversation. Thank you very much. We'll be back soon with more episodes of the podcast. And until then, we hope all of your business decisions are great ones.